Pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the message to speak the mystery of the Messiah for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we as the people of God need your help this morning to understand your truth so that we can live your way. So come and speak to us now, Father, through your Holy Spirit and convict us with truth. And Father, if you could be kind to give me a few minutes of voice to share this truth in Jesus' name. Amen. General John Sedgwick was affectionately called Uncle John by his troops in the Civil War. And he died on May 9th, 1864. He was born in Cornwall Hollow, Connecticut, and named after his grandfather, who just so happens to be a Revolutionary War hero, who served under George Washington. After teaching for 2 years, John attended a U.S. military academy, graduated in 1837, and was commissioned as a lieutenant in the U.S. artillery. At the outbreak of the Civil War, he was a major with 24 years of experience, and he missed the early action of the Civil War because he was recovering from cholera. In Virginia, he fought in the Battle of Yorktown and Seven Pines and was wounded in the arm and the leg in the battle at Glendale. In the Battle of Sharpsburg, he was badly wounded and lost over half of his men. In the Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse on May 9, 1864, Confederate sharpshooters were about 1,000 yards away, and their shots caused members of his staff and artillery to duck for cover. And while the general marched valiantly back and forth above the trenches, his men were diving for cover because of the sharpshooters 1,000 yards away. He said, "Men, why are you dodging like this? What's wrong with you? Those guys couldn't hit an elephant from 1,000 yards." Just moments later, he took a bullet right below his eye, and he was killed instantly and fell into the trench. Famous last words. Those guys couldn't hit an elephant from that distance, and they hit him right where it killed him instantly. I've asked other people this week about any famous last words or something you might have told your children when they were leaving for a while, or if you were to drop them off, or something your parents told you. Someone said that, "I always say, drive safe and call me when you get home." One woman told me, she tells her son, "I love you. Be sure that you write, call, or email, or something." Woodrow Kroll says, "Have a good and godly day." Someone used to end their broadcast with, "Y'all come back now, you hear?" Remember that one? Someone said, "I told my kids the same thing so often, I would just tell them when they were leaving, just play the tape. Just play the tape. Same stuff." Leo's dad said that his dad told him until he was in his 30s that he should be good when he was departing from him. Heidi's father died when she was 8, and the last thing that Heidi's dad said to her was, "Heidi, I love you." And he died. And we have those moments where the words that we say at the end are very significant, and we don't know if we'll have a chance again, and we hope that we'll see people again, but sometimes things happen. And we've just gotten in the book of Colossians a bank of instruction from the Apostle Paul, and you have to see it in the context of how they got it. This letter was transmitted to various churches, and it came into the church, and the people assembled possibly even on a weeknight, may not even been a Sunday. They assembled on a weeknight because the letter has arrived from the Apostle Paul, and they gather together wherever it is, and they open up that letter, and someone begins to read the whole book, 12 minutes, 13 minutes, probably less in the Greek. And they read the book, and they get to the end, and Paul has given all this teaching about who is Christ, and why we shouldn't be legalistic, and why we should be obedient, and what matters, and what doesn't matter, and how to live as family members and workers, and this whole bank of instruction, and he comes to the end, and right before his conclusion, he says the things that we read today. He says, devote yourselves to prayer and walk in wisdom. I call this Paul's 1-2 punch at the end. This whole bank of instruction, and he's not giving a new teaching. He is giving a synopsis of how to press on with this teaching. And so the teaching in the Colossians, in the book of Colossians, is wrapped up in these two things. Paul's 1-2 punch. Pray a lot and walk in wisdom. And that is our two points for today. Paul thought that these two things would make the necessary impact for this teaching. Number one, pray with devotion. Pray with devotion. Today you have cell phones and the communication that we have available is almost instantaneous. In the early days of my farming, we didn't have cell phones. That was something that we would only dreamed about. And so in the early part of my farming career, I bought these FM two-way radios. Some of you know what that is. Maybe some police or fire people still use those where they have FM communication. I suppose now cell phones have replaced almost everything. But we bought these two-way radios like a CB, only way high powered, and we could communicate about 20 or 25 miles across the country where I was farming. And the distance from my farthest farm to one end of the county to the other was about 25 miles. And it was so important to us to be able to communicate regularly on a daily, momentary basis as we were working. We spent thousands of dollars to install FM two-way radios in all of our tractors and combines and pickups because we wanted to be able to communicate on an instantaneous basis. And the Bible tells us that we should devote ourselves to prayer, communication with God. Be doing that all the time. The word, therefore, that we would see as devote is proskartereo, which comes literally from two words that mean with strength. And so Paul says, pray with strength. The word means to stick by it, to be close at hand, to attach oneself to be faithful, to be persistent, to busy oneself, to be devoted, to persevere. If you take the word here, which is a verb that says to persevere, to stick by it, if you make it a noun, the noun means perseverance. And Paul says we must persevere in prayer. We must. Prayer is talking to God. Just that simple. Paul says, talk to God. Having trouble with your wife? Your husband? Son, daughter, children, work, boss, employer? Discipline in your life? Obedience? Who is Christ? Legalism? Talk to God. He will help you. Someone said that prayer is practicing the presence of God. I believe that's true. Three things I want you to know about prayer. Number one is the Scriptures say pray. You know that's true. The Scriptures say pray. Acts 1:14, they all continue with one accord in prayers. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly with the apostles in breaking the bread in prayer. Acts 2:46, they continued daily with one accord. Acts 6:4, we give ourselves continually to prayer. Acts 10:7, a devout soldier of them that waited on him and they prayed. Romans 12:12, hope, patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. Romans 13:6, for they are God's ministers attending continually and teaching in prayer. The Bible always talks about prayer in a continual basis. And the people of God who want to follow God and love God and talk to God are constantly in a spirit of prayer. The Scriptures say so. God has convicted me about this. We need to pray more. We need to pray more often. We need to think that our first response to a situation is, what does God have to say? And I've confessed to you before that so often I want to call someone, and now I discipline myself, and my first response to a crisis or a problem or a question or dilemma is, Lord, what do you think about this? What do you want to tell me? How can I listen to you? The Scriptures say pray. The songs say pray. You just start thinking about the songs that we sing, the hymns and choruses about prayer. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Pray. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Calls me from my world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wish and wants known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? The songs that we sing tell us to pray. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. God, help us because we're lazy in that. I wonder what the power of God would look like in the people of God if the people of God devoted themselves to prayer and took everything to the feet of Jesus and came to a worship service and said, Father, right now come in power and help us. A song that I did not recognize, I found the words to. Prayer is appointed to convey the blessings God designs to give. Long as they live, Christians should pray. They learn to pray when first they live. If pain afflict or wrongs oppress, if cares distract or fears dismay, if guilt dejects, if sin distress, in every case, watch and pray. John Piper wrote that, I think I missed a point. Oh, I did. And number three. Number two, I went backwards. Number two is the saints say pray. The saints say pray. A boy was overheard that it might be unconstitutional to pray in school, but I always pray before an exam because I need to. A young boy that knows he needs God's help. John Bunyan said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Unless we make a mistake or we forget, I think almost every meeting that I ever go to in this church, every group of people that meets to make a decision, we stop and we pray. In our staff meetings, we pray for an extended period of time. We believe that our extended prayer is more valuable to us than our extended conversations over details. We oftentimes will pray for half of our staff meeting because we think the decisions that come after that are so much easier for us. Matthew Henry said, when God intends to bless His people, the first thing He does is set them to praying. You want God to bless this people? I do. And He is. God wants to set us to praying. George Mueller had four life's principles that he operated by. His number two principle was never to ask any human being for help, however great the need might be, but to make his wants and needs known first to God, who promised to care for him. Isn't that remarkable? First place I go to God, I don't beg people. I say, God, we need your help. The scriptures say pray. The saints say pray. The songs that we sing say pray. John Piper said probably the number one reason why prayer malfunctions in the hands of believers is that we try to turn a wartime walkie-talkie into a domestic intercom. Until you know that life is war, you cannot know what you are praying for. Prayer is for the accomplishment of a wartime mission. But what we have is millions of Christians who have stopped believing that we're in a war. No urgency, no watching, no vigilance, no strategic planning. Just easy peace and prosperity. And what did we do with our walkie-talkie? Well, we tried to rig it up as an intercom in our houses and cabins and boats and cars, not to call in firepower for conflict with a mortal enemy, but to ask for more comforts in the den. This is the place of prayer, the battlefield of the world. It's a wartime walkie-talkie for spiritual warfare, not a domestic intercom, to increase the comforts of the saints. One of the reasons why prayer malfunctions in the hands of so many Christian soldiers is they've just gone AWOL. The scriptures plead with us to be constant in prayer. The scriptures plead with us to understand that we have a need to be praying and in prayer to God. I ran across a kind of a cute memory helper this week that I think might help us, or it will help me at least. But whenever you see ASAP, something that we write on emails and letters, this is very important. Think, always say a prayer. ASAP, this is really important. Yeah, always say a prayer. Number two in this passage, Paul says, walk in wisdom. I've titled the sermon today, Wisdom Walkers, because it seems like what Paul is saying, that these are the two things, the 1-2 punch, to pray like crazy and to walk in wisdom, that put what the book of Colossians is about into action. Walk in wisdom. Paul's second punch is to walk in wisdom. How do we do that? How do we do that? Wisdom is knowledge in action. So we pray and seek for God's help. We tell Him what's going on. We ask Him for His help. We understand that He speaks to us in prayer. We gain that knowledge and the confidence through our prayer time with God. And then we put into action the wisdom that God gives us. And Paul says, be devoted in prayer and walk in wisdom. Walk in the right direction. Number one, walk in the right direction. You know what this passage says literally? It says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Two words, redeeming time. Making time valuable. Redeeming the time. You've heard that before. So how do you become a nurse? Let's say you want to be a nurse. Some of you probably are. Some of you are on that journey. How do you become a nurse? Well, you like the medical profession. You want to work in a hospital. Maybe you heard a lot about Mayo Clinic and you like that and you think, I want to be a part of that. You go to school. You take some classes. You learn about what it means to be a nurse. And you take biology and chemistry and all of those things. You learn what it is to be a nurse by studying and pushing yourself in that direction. You have an interest. You get an education. You remain a student of the profession and you work in the field. I remember when I was first married and my barn burned to the ground and I rebuilt it. And I found that when I rebuilt it, I really enjoyed the construction process and I liked the building of the building more than I liked raising the hogs. Hogs are okay and somebody's got to raise them, but I like building better. And I found myself becoming a student of construction. And I went on vacations and I would climb through construction projects and look at how they put the corner studs together and how they did the foundation. I was a student of that because I wanted to do that. Years down the road, I remember finding myself being a builder, looking back and going, that is so funny. I wanted to do that and I became a student of that and I learned things and read books and got magazines and began to be a student of that. And I found myself working in that direction. And so it is with walking in the wisdom of God. I've defined study as moving in a particular direction, right? You want to study history, you'll move in the direction of understanding history. You want to be a nurse or a doctor, you study and you move yourself in that direction. And so to walk in wisdom, you have to find things, you have to get yourself in a path that moves you in that direction. You have to study the Word of God. You have to study the principles of the Word of God. You have to find yourself in a place where you can learn about the things of God and read books about what matters in the kingdom of God and how to be a good Christian, how to understand people, how to work in a church setting. We have to move ourselves in that direction. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Word of God so you don't have to be ashamed, so that you can be a discerning Christian. Theodore Epp said in 1939 that we would never think of going from Sunday to Sunday without eating a meal. So that's why he started a radio program, so that he could provide a daily smorgasbord for people that wanted to know more about the kingdom of God. And so he started a program that still runs today called Back to the Bible that still plays. So people wouldn't have to go a week at a time without a meal. And we shouldn't. Christians should be in their Bibles every day, a verse, a passage, a psalm, a proverb. I'm enjoying so much the daily Bible. I'm reading through MacArthur's Daily Bible. It's an Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and a New Testament passage every day. It's been very good for me. We have to walk in the right direction. And we have to walk in the right instruction. And the instruction that we want comes from the Word of God. And so we read our Bibles and we seek to understand. And when you go to a church or where someone's preaching like I am right now, you take out your Bibles and you look at the verses and you say, I want to understand what this means. I want to be instructed by this passage. God, help me to understand. Walk in the right instruction. And lastly, we should walk with the right intention. Walk with the right intention. It's very interesting that Paul talks about this big 1-2 punch for how to put the book of Colossians into action, which is prayer and walking in wisdom. And then he says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the time. And your speech should be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. He says that we should walk with right intentions towards outsiders, to the people that we meet. And he says that his speech, our speech, your speech, my speech, should be gracious to other people, and that we should live and walk with discernment. You know, it seems like the what we say and how our speech is and our tone and our demeanor is an indication of where we're at in our prayer and our walking in wisdom. And when God gets a hold of us in our prayer time, and when God helps us to walk in wisdom and we're seeking the Scriptures, it seems like the natural expression of that happening in our life is that we walk wisely with the people that we are with. And that our speech is seasoned with salt. It's tempered. And we know what we ought not to say. I pray as much for things I think that I shouldn't say as I pray for things that I do. And I say, God, help me not to say things I shouldn't say. Help me to say only what is true. Help me to say enough to accomplish the purpose, but not too much as to be wrong. We should walk with right intentions towards outsiders with gracious speech and discernment. So how does this apply for us today for our missions thinking? We've talked about Annie Armstrong, and next week we're taking the offering for that. How does this teaching apply for that? Prayer and walking in wisdom. Paul says in the first several verses that he wants to pray so that doors will open for him to the gospel. And in the second section, he wants to pray so that he can walk wisely. Well, this is what I want in your life and mine. I want you to pray to God and say, where is a door that you want me to walk through? Where is the door that needs to open for me? And so as you pray about your contribution to the Annie Armstrong offering, the question is, what does God want you to do? How can you pray and respond to that call? Maybe the door that God is opening for you is to be someone who is going to sow this week. I hope it is. Or someone who says, you know, I've been wanting to talk to this family or that family or this person, and God, open a door for me. I want to walk through that door. Pray and ask God, what door does He want you to walk through? How does He want you to respond to the task that you have in hand? And then take the 1-2 punch and apply it to this offering. Say, you know, not only do I want to pray about what God would have me to do, but I want to walk in wisdom and I want to be wise. And I know the Bible says, if I sow generously, I will reap generously. Well, I want to do that. I want to be wise in my life. And I know that it would be wise for me to contribute to this offering. Pray and ask God to show you how He wants you to participate. In wisdom, ponder your part with the help of God's truth to know how He would have you respond and give. Remember the Scriptures that we have learned that if we sow abundantly, we will reap abundantly. Beloved, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Pray for all things and ask God to help you and to teach you to walk in wisely for Him. That's unusual. Pray for all things and ask God to help you and teach you to walk wisely for Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for teaching us this morning. And Father, I pray that we would be devoted to prayer and that we would walk in wisdom as the people of God. Help us to do that. Father, we need You to help us for that. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit, the resolve to be committed to these two things today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a closing song in just a moment. If God has prompted you to make any decision this morning, you can make it in your seat. You can come at the front and pray alone or come and pray with me. But if God has pricked or prompted your heart this morning, respond to Him in whatever way is appropriate. If you've thought about being a member of this church and you're not, you can come and talk to me about that. Lead us in a song now, gentlemen.